That's the sound of river guides hammering stakes into the sand along a small beach inside Yampa Canyon. They're keeping 7 inflatable rafts from drifting downstream, where white water is churning, sending an ominous roar up the narrow sandstone walls. John Saunders perches on a rocky outcropping and points out the features of Warm Springs. It's one of the river's more technical sections. The water is beige and roiling, like a latte in a blender on high speed.
As the water comes around the corner, you start to see waves picking up, and you see some waves that are actually crashing and looks intimidating.
I'm part of a group of about 30 people, including water professionals and elected officials, on a 5-day trip through Dinosaur National Monument. It's organized by conservation groups, including American Rivers and the whitewater outfitter Oars. Saunders is one of our guides.
How many times have you run this stretch?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. 10 or 15, maybe?
And does it ever look the same?
No. It's a different story every time we come. What do you think when you look at it?
I think it looks scary.
I agree.
But this is a good illustration of what makes the Yampa so unique in the West. Its flow changes daily. And while that might sound like a small detail, its variability is a defining feature.
This river is a relic in some ways.
Kent Vertrees is the board chair of the river advocacy group Friends of the Yampa. At the end of a cold, rainy day on the river, we chatted at a narrow campsite called Compromise. It's a fitting name given the growing pressures on the Yampa and other rivers across the West.
In today's world, where most rivers have been dammed, diverted, and dewatered to the point where they're not functioning as rivers do or used to, this river still has that functionality.
And that's not by accident. It comes despite varying interests, cities, farmers, and recreationalists all wanting a piece of it. In the 1950s, environmental groups stymied an effort to dam the Yampa. But Vertrees and others know the day will come when the river could be more vulnerable.
We do have a lot of growth happening in Colorado, all of the states in the Colorado Basin. We've been far enough away to this point to preserve the flows of the Yampa.
The largest city along the Yampa is Steamboat Springs. And while the community relies on the river for its water, the valley's biggest users are farmers and ranchers.
Part of the ranch is right at Clark.
Jay Fetcher raises cattle along one of the river's tributaries. Part of his operation is growing hay for his animals.
And the amount of water it takes me to flood irrigate that meadow would take care of 3,000 people for 1 year if it were shipped to the Front Range.
Do you think that sometimes agricultural users get unfairly blamed for water scarcity problems?
I do think we get blamed. Yeah. And yet people want to eat. They do want to eat.
That's the
and
trade-off.
They want to recreate. Right. They want to recreate.
With high flows this summer, the fishing, tubing, and rafting was good. But it was a different story last year when drought and record heat caused parts of the watershed to run dry.
It was a big deal, number one, because it had never happened before.
Aaron Light is the state engineer in charge of managing and measuring water in the Yampa and its tributaries.
And number two, it encompassed the entire Yampa River.
She had to turn off water to some ranchers to meet other water obligations downriver. That's when the Yampa became the newest member of a whole class of Western rivers, ones where there's more water on paper than in the river itself.
Sometimes we joke about it being, or maybe not joking, it's just a statement we use that it's the last frontier. And when it comes to water, I think we are the last frontier.
So far, no one's shown up on Jay Fetcher's doorstep looking to buy his water yet. But for agriculture to survive in the long term, he says, they need to make the case that their livelihoods are valuable.
I think with Colorado getting thirstier with more people, we who use the resource, the river, through our water rights, have to think about what other benefits are provided by our flood irrigation that Colorado enjoys.
like the wetlands he says his flood irrigation creates that wouldn't be there otherwise. Back in Yampa Canyon, those same concerns weigh on Jackie Brown. She's a recent appointee to the Colorado Water Conservation Board. It's the state's decision-making authority on all things water.
I think we're really at a time in water development and in water resource management when we've built relationships to have the hard conversations.
Ones that include the contentious issue of pursuing federal protection for the river's flow, or demand management, a still theoretical program that would pay farmers to irrigate less and send the saved water to the Colorado River's dwindling reservoirs.
Something that I grapple with all the time is, what does rural Colorado look like in 2 years and 5 years and 10 years and 50 years? That's the question we're asking ourselves right now.
It's a future that's still being written, and charting that course will be up to everyone who uses water in the arid West.
I think rivers that have a natural heartbeat, or what we're calling on this trip, the natural hydrograph.
Again, river guide John Saunders.
They tend to reflect a story, and so we're starting to see this story change, and every time we come down here, it's a, you know, much like in our own lives, you know, if we look at our own lives, every day is a different story. I think rivers reflect that.
There was one more point of reflection on the trip, when the raft slipped silently into Echo Park, where the Yampa ends and meets the Green River.
Let's go that way first. Just yell Yampa as loud as we can. Staying silent for, let's say, a good 10 seconds. So you can count, try to count how many echoes you can hear, okay? One, two, three.
Yampa!
In Yampa Canyon, I'm Luke Runyon.
I bet that sounds good. Pretty cool. Yeah.